this is completely off this, but the other opportunity is a countywide message.
Yes.
Which is a little easier to do because everyone's working under the same protocols, the same right. medical program director.
Right.
It's all under the North region.
Right.
That kind of steps down a little more smoothly than fire department A and fire department B. So, and there is some economy in that. It may be challenging for staffing, but if you had a pool of medics, and we're just filling them in, okay, this shift you're on Orcas, this shift you're on San Juan, there'd be some efficiency in staffing.
It wouldn't take
as many methods to...
You'd also have efficiency in billing them, too, because then you would be billing insurance and Medicare, Medicaid, potentially out of one office, be more efficient, more effective.
But the cost of billing is pretty expensive. So
actually that makes more sense probably than an RFA, come to think of it.
Honestly, the EMS district to me makes, as you point out, more sense just because it's they're all doing the same thing.
And I can see the efficiencies in that a little easier. And I also agree that there's cultural issues island to island that would be really interesting.
To read out the paper.
You don't want to be the chief in that situation, I realize.
I mean, the only thing that you would gain, because there have been mutual aids, at least between us and Orcas, and then even Lopez, is you would get away from currently bottle issues, so different SCBAs.
Yeah.
And so when people move around, difficulty filling bottles when they're there, you have issues with different apparatus and how they actually, and then there are some other way they set up scenes. It can be different, it can be challenging. And so, those have come up on mutual aid calls where either we have gone to Orcas and or Orcas has came here. So.
The hardware issues, as you know, back in the day, the whole county went to the same version. An agency went off in a different direction. All the county chiefs are back on the same page that it makes lots of sense for everybody to have the same thing. I tried coordinating a countywide SCBA grant last year, and everyone voiced enthusiasm for, but no one delivered any of the information. Our agency is going to be looking at it again in the next grant cycle. And there is still interest to do the countywide one. So I think the hardware stuff is doable, but again, it gets to cultural, the way a scene is managed. And that's training and familiarity. The county chiefs could dial them to that level. If there was a consensus that it was valuable doing that. It's a personality-driven organization, but right now it's pretty, everyone's pulling in the same direction, to put it that way. It's not on the screen case.
So that would solve some of the problems if you were moving towards an RFA.
Everything
sort of standardized anyway.
And
then it's really not that hard.
If you're doing mutual aid together, you're doing mutual aid together all the time, then you get that.
Yeah.
And just by wearing down the rough edges by working each other all the time.
Oh, that's usually the driver.
Hence the, it works great if you're working together already. But the MS district is a different consideration, and there are a number of those around the state.
Brad, another question. You're talking about the outer island response and EMS and their levy and whatnot. Fire Service currently provides wildland response to, is it all the outer islands here in the county?
We have a contract with DNR. Right.
And then we also, as an organization, provide a lot of the transport for EMS for their outer island responses. Is that...
We have been providing that the people that drive the boat as mutually for months.
And the commissioners are okay with that?
It's infrequent enough that it's not a huge amount of money.
Does the sheriff also provide the boat when they need to get to an outer island?
Well, the boat belongs to the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Lopez, Shaw, and ourselves signed on to it as cooperating partners. EMS declined to. But it's run pretty much under the county mutual aid agreement, which all comes underneath the sheriff since he's the one that has overarching authority. So if the boat's in, the sheriff's office does not normally provide a driver.
They don't? Okay.
No.
I wonder if
they don't have the personnel.
They don't? Okay.
They don't have the personnel to do it. So that's why our crews show up to drive EMS to where they
okay. do. And that's the fire boat we're speaking of.
That the fire sheriff.
The joint sheriff. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sheriff's separate. Yeah. Right.
It hasn't happened without frequency to be an issue.
Chief, in this report, mm-hmm. there's a discussion about EMS billing. Do you get a sense, and this is a question, you know, I think we'll be really dialing in with the EMS chief on
right.
But
right.
I was curious about your perception and what staff said about capture rates. How good are the EMS capture rates as far as recovery on costs, and is it?
It's my understanding, and I was trying to bring myself up to speed. A lot of this stuff is EMS billing and Medicare, Medicaid, and all the ins and outs of that. And I went in knowing nothing, and I would not presume to say that I have a full understanding. I'm sure Jerry can talk in more detail, but it's my understanding that most of the billing problems that the agency was having have been addressed by moving to a different provider and pretty much writing off stuff that some that should have been written off, some that should have been collected, but that's old history. So it's my understanding that they're actually doing pretty well.
And I think Chris Compton is the one we want to ask that question.
Yeah.
Well, Chris can tell you how efficient is, but compared to other agencies,
yes.
I think they're doing pretty much the standard rate.
The standard rate, yeah. Yeah.
Chuck, were you asking the, you know, what Medicaid and Medicare pays? Because, I mean, the percentage they're putting in here are actually quite good compared to other services, medical services. So.
Yeah, I was just trying to get a sense comparatively, you know, head to head with a service of a similar size. How
Corpus or Lopez or somewhere they're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. At one point, I don't think Orcus was even billing.
They are now, and their base rates are different, but as far as the dollars that they're bringing in, they're comparable. There isn't anything that says an ALS one call is X amount. It's up to the agency to come up with that. Medicaid's going to
discount it.
It's going to pay what they want anyhow.
Right.
And we're still in a situation where EMS does not charge taxpayers within the district for service.
Right.
Is that standard in other
is
counties?
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. So if you
well,
look
they bill insurance. They'll
yes.
bill your
right.
insurance,
yeah.
but whatever the insurance, if so let's say they bill your insurance $1,000 and your insurance says we're not paying any of it, they don't turn around and send you a bill.
Right.
So they'll eat those costs. But if your insurance pays half of it, they keep half of it.
They'll take that.
Yes.
Right.
But
so that's
but compared to other organizations,
it's variable. And honestly, I didn't do a lot of comparative research
mm-hmm.
with the size agencies. But some agencies are going for every penny. Lopez just started billing for anyone for EMS services a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of all over the board. But Jerry could probably
right.
give you a better understanding of that.
That may be more of a political question than a mechanical question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is a fair amount that's written off
right.
because of that. A fair amount of the bill.
used to be that EMS didn't bill for patient transport if you were an Islander, and they billed you if you weren't. But they can't do that legally, so they bill everybody now. And the way around it is to just not dumb those who live on the island. It's a skirting of a legal question, actually.
There was a discussion about capital expenses and budgeting for capital expenses and equipment. And, there was a EMS looks like they have a pretty heavy lift as far as replacement equipment needs coming up. I guess my concern in looking at budgets were that would be a pretty sizable liability for
yes.
the fire department to inherit.
Yes.
Only if the fire department were going to fund it any differently than it would be funded as it is now. I mean, if it's an EMS problem, the EMS problem rides with EMS, whether it's under the hospital district or it's under the fire district.
Well,
yes, that's true, but.
I can't imagine that the fire district would want to bring it in and then run two completely separate sets of books for, and that you'd lose efficiency trying to do that.
Well, that's...
Well, you get to the same place, but, yeah.
It's the same as it is now. I mean, there are separate books now.
No, I realize that.
And they would
but
just
if you,
continue running.
If you look at Orcas Fire,
yeah.
does everything under their fire money. They didn't even have any.
Right,
so
which is why it's all under one.
The accounting is a whole lot easier than mm-hmm. Lopez does the same. So, ideally, from a fire standpoint,
yeah.
it would all be under one. There wouldn't be a separate EMS
right.
levy, so you don't have to juggle the books and try to
yeah,
figure
what's,
out.
What's the geography
so
aligns
that
you can do that?
yeah, and that's,
but the geography has to align before you
yeah.
can do that.
And then is it true that if the fire
right.
district is going to collect the levy, that they could collect a higher rate than EMS is now collecting?
No, the EMS levy is capped at 50 cents.
The separate EMS levy.
A separate EMS levy.
If it was separate, but if it was under the fire district.
The fire district can assess a whole lot more under their fire levy.
Right.
They can go up to $1.25.
And if they provided EMS under that levy instead of an EMS levy,
right.
or we
yes,
could
there would be more
capacity.
Right.
Yeah, or we could go up to $1.25 and then have an EMS levy on top of that. I mean,
yeah.
this is San Juan County. You know where that would go.
I think a lot of that would be unpopular, but you could do a lot of that. Yeah.
But to your question, that is a concern. Right now, the fire district has a fair amount of cash on hand. With some nice to and we should type expenditures coming up. The heavy rescue needs work. We have a tender that's being rebuilt right now. So there are things that best practices would have us spending money on coming up. The EMS expenditures are a little more immediate with the light back defibrillators several years out of date. And they were able to convince them to continue to service them, but yeah, I mean, there's some more immediate needs for that.
Yeah, there are absolute life issues as far as that equipment.
Exactly. I mean, we could put off a new heavy rescue for a couple of years if we needed to. The tender was starting to get pretty critical. The purchasing of a new piece of property would take fair amount of what's sitting in that as well. So our reserves are good, but I could go out and spend all that justifiably next week. But our needs are not as pressing as what the capital needs for EMS appear to be.
Right.
And we're in really good position because we're able to purchase the new fire engines that really addressed a lot of the at that time. Yeah, we just need to bring in more volunteers.
Yeah.
Not more, just from specific geography, the north end and the south end.
That's always the challenge.
It's worse now than it
is. Is it worse than?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since the building is an interesting question, since they have a bond and they have their own building and all all of that. What are the issues and pros and cons of leaving EMS at the hospital versus putting it in the building on the other side of the airport?
A $10,000 a month mortgage.
Yes. But if you're talking about buying
property.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we're investing in our own facilities and enhancing our maintenance shop, there's a little more, we're getting something out of it. The other operationally, I think the biggest challenge is you still have two separate silos. You're going to be hard pressed to change culture if you still have two separate silos. That would be even more of a management nightmare because of that. So I think for cultural as well as response, it makes sense in some ways. And it's a very attractive building. It's not really functional. They had to specially shop for ambulances that fit in the bays. And you know what the offices are set up like. So it's very nice, but
is it actually on hospital district property, or do they purchase
it? No, they purchased the land and the building from Peace Island after this building.
So those are special aid units? They're not?
Well,
I mean, I didn't realize that.
No, they were limited. They
in the size?
They just can't be longer than a certain amount. Right. Some are, and some aren't. You have to pick ones that are.
You take, if you back the ambulance into the bay, you take the gurney out to clean it. Mm-hmm. You're up against the wall or up against the counter back there. Hmm. Yeah, but there were just a few smaller things that kind of the architect didn't have an opportunity to consider. That's a beautiful build, and it's nicely pointing. But I think, from my point of view, the cultural part of it and
the
siloing of the two different functions would be not helpful.
Right, and it was the issue too, if you were even able to move your maintenance operation into that structure, then you'd still have this workforce separation problem still.
Well, and yeah, and we did that, and then the firefighters that we're counting on to get out the door are now couple of blocks away, and that building wouldn't work.
It would not work for maintenance.
No,
it's not a
you can't
shop.
Get an ambulance in, getting fire engines.
You need engines to fit in a maintenance shop.
Yeah. Well, there's your RFA, because Orcus has a beautiful shop.
They do have a nice facility.
So there's your RFA.
So you can take all
and we talked about
all the engines synergies. Can go over to Orcus for maintenance. That wouldn't be a problem.
Well,
and actually, we were
talking
be,
to Scott about what kind of synergy we could have between the maintenance.
That would be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's a separate discussion.
Yeah.
But the buildings, I think the cultural part is just as big. I mean, any of this stuff is doable, but I think the challenges are the building, the geography of the taxing districts, and reliable revenue from the town. The rest of it's doable, easily doable. And that stuff I'm sure is doable for some of the better imagination. I don't know, figure out how you would pull off that stuff. I don't know, I never got to the point of talking to our attorney about stepping away from providing EMS service to the other islands. I think for our agency, if this were going to happen, Fire District 3 would simply stand up in the EMS service at the same time and get the PhD stood down.
So it would not be a true merger, it would be...
I think that would be the easiest way, both culturally and financially, to heavy EMS services provided by Fire District 3.
What would that do to, I mean, if you, because you stood up your own, you wouldn't have the union issue with the paramedics. You could hire your own paramedics at that
point.
We
would make positions available, whether they chose to organize or not would be a whole different thing.
Yes.
But, that's,
But you'd be under no obligation to simply take everybody there.
You would not.
Not if we're standing up on the surface.
I think.
But that puts EMS service under the fire district.
I think the hospital district might be a little reluctant to walk away from EMS and maintain a $5 million bond on the building that they need and manage the other liabilities. So I seriously doubt that EMS would just go away from the hospital district happily. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario in which that would happen.
I appreciate that, and the fire district doesn't need to take on the bond of the building.
Right, right. So I think until that resolves itself somehow, it's unlikely.
Some of the discussion is, some of it has been that, you know, this makes sense and it's doable. Once EMS and the PhDs find this extraordinary. That makes, I mean, the fact that the $4 million in receivables has been dealt with, there's a big thing off the table.
Yeah.
The CID is still sitting out there. That's something else that's on the table. But as some of these bigger things have either timed out or been addressed or whatever, fewer of the bigger roadblocks are out there. But the building certainly might.
Yeah, I don't see the building going away. I mean, you're right, there's some other issues they have to work through and have.
Right.
Actually,
right.
Through. But I think we're going to hear that in a few weeks.
That's a stumbling block.
That's going to be a major issue.
Not an easy building to sell.
No, I don't see them getting $5 million out of that and just paying off the bond or something. I just don't see that happening. So I'm not sure exactly what would happen in that scenario.
Yeah, no, it's
1.6 on the building.
What's that?
1.6.
Yeah. Oh, is that?
That's what it's down to.
That's what it's down to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so there's that.
And if the balloon Spring Street properties,
well,
I was under the impression, is the hospital district was using that to pay down.
To retire bonds.
Yes. But
I'm not aware if there's any contractual obligation.
There's no,
there's no obligation.
There's been discussion.
It's been a lot of hearsay.
Yes.
Or just maybe discussion.
Nathan knows something on this, perhaps?
I don't like to speak up. I don't want to add my opinion, but I can say unequivocally that there is a resolution on the docket tomorrow that is proposed that would apply those funds to that.
Okay.
But I can't speak as to whether it will pass.
Right, sure, right.
But
that's helpful, thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
It addresses the question of are they considering making that a formal resolution, which is
I can get you copies.
That liability of that structure is just—it's a big barrier. It's a big, it's a big.
Yep.
It's a big gulp.
Yep.
Brett, I have a question back on your document on the fire department. So the budgeted amount of the levy. There's a couple years where. You received significantly less than what you budgeted. Was there, normally tax revenue is pretty easy to calculate. Do you understand what happened there?
I can't speak to the mindset of the budget process.
Okay.
Honestly, going through documents I find, I have no idea why the justification.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Do you have any sense, I mean, one of the questions that came up at our last meeting, we kind of came to this fundamental question that we kind of wanted to ask everybody, which was just trying to figure out why are we having this discussion right now? Is it partially because of a number of factors, including leadership changes?
It's supposition. It was brought to the fire district by the department. My assumption at the time was that it was financially funded, not operation. I mean, financially driven and not operationally driven. But I know that since Chief Martin's come in, I think when he made it pretty clear from the minute he got here, he thought the two agencies should be put together.
Is that because he came from a model? Do you know? You don't know?
I can't speak to that. I honestly don't know.
He came from a regional fire authority. So, I mean, he has that in his background, sure.
So the other question I would have, Brett, if a merger was to happen, would having both chiefs either retiring or saying they're retiring, would that be the ideal time to do it? I mean, is this an opportunity with you stepping down and Chief Martin stepping down to start afresh?
I think it should be driven by that. I think if
I'm not saying be driven by that. What I'm saying is this an opportunity since we have it presented? Is this happening? Would this be an ideal time to do it so that you have a new chief coming in to set the culture and address some of those concerns you have? You have a brand new face. He's setting the culture. He's doing all of the issues. So you don't have this 5-year period that you anticipate with potential issues. Or,
oh, you still have it.
I think it's way deeper in the organization than that top layer.
Yeah, it's not just the chiefs. The cultural blending would be happening vertically throughout the organizations. I think the chief officers would be the least your issue because hopefully they'd all be looking in the same direction and trying to bring everyone. If they're not looking in the same direction, then forget it. You're not going to be able to motivate the rest of the people participating in it. Whether it's the best time or not, honestly, I would say that it adds an additional challenge because now you have an unknown individual coming into a small community with very deep-seated traditions and ideas about their agencies. And, I mean, you have to throw everything up in the air. That seems like that's what would happen.
Actually, I think that I can see how the reverse could also be problematic. Yes. Right? Well, how can you recruit when you don't really know what you're recruiting for?
If you had one individual who had familiarity with the community and the agencies, and the understanding, maybe not an agreement, maybe an agreement of the various cultures, they'd be in a better position to massage that.
That's pretty difficult as a tall order.
It's a tall order anyway you look at it.
Yeah.
And yes, this is adding a whole dimension to our recruiting process.
Right, that's what I was
because our brochure, which is hopefully going out in the next few days, mentions this board's existence and that a desired candidate will have a good understanding of AMS operations.
Just in case.
And kind of just in case. Exactly.
I like the squishy part of that.
We're not promising or threatening anything, but just in case.
Yeah. You're looking for a challenge?
What you said, that's, yes.
And again, I see no way that you have to have two chiefs. I don't see a way to have one chief administrator who can run fire EMS.
And that's why I was talking about two divisions.
I think so.
I think you do.
You have one CEO, and then you have a fire division chief and any rest.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's why that. You're
the only organization that makes sense in any.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to. I think that model is what you have to be operational. Mm-hmm. But that model then reduces the savings and overhead that you would get by putting the two together.
Right.
So I think not looking at great savings in administrative costs is realistic. If you're doing, anyone who's gone through an RFA will tell you, and I think this is similar enough to it. If you go into it thinking you're going to save money, walk away right now, because that can't be the driving factor. Trying to save money like that, it rarely happens. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.